Coming up on All About Android, we discuss Google's official Pixel event announcement. We actually have a date now. Also, the new Snapdragon Wear 3100. It was a long time coming, but it's bringing some really great improvements to Android, to the Wear OS specifically. OnePlus 6T's in-display fingerprint sensor. Shield TV apparently has some really great support. Google Play points and a whole lot more. All About Android is coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. You can learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by Grammarly, the communication tool that helps improve your writing for every occasion. Start writing more confidently for work, school, and even on the go. It's a great way to double-check your important papers, documents, and even avoid future typos. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium today at grammarly.com/android. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 386, recorded on Tuesday, September 11th, 2018, where you weekly source the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm happy birthday, Jason!
Oh, that's not your name! That's not your name! You're
I
Florence
was waiting Isle. Until we got to
I'm
the
Florence
whole
Isle.
Hellos.
Wishing you a happy birthday!
Flo just wanted to be first.
Yeah.
I just want to point out to everyone that both of our birthdays have fallen on Tuesdays this year.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
So we only have two birthdays here because Ron and I are twins.
So 7 years from now it'll happen again. Is that how it works?
That's crazy.
Actually, I don't know.
I wonder what the dessert will be in 7 years.
I don't know. We might have a dessert today. Joining us, first time to the show, Caitlin McGarry from Tom's Guide. Caitlin_McGarry on Twitter. How you doing, Caitlin?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. It sounds like you are in Sunnyvale right now because there might be an Apple sort of event, a fruity event happening down there.
There is. Rumor has it, an event tomorrow morning.
A rumor, a poorly kept rumor, but not nearly as poorly kept as Google's announcement.
Supposedly poorly kept.
That's fair.
I suppose it's supposedly. Well, we're delighted to have you here. You had a exclusive last week on the Pixel Watch not making it to the hardware event, and we're like, yeah, we got to get you on this show, and we've got a bunch of stuff, and actually an article that you wrote about Snapdragon new processor. We're going to get to that in a second, but before we start, people have been asking why we don't eat pie on this show, right? We did Oreo for an entire year. And then it was like, well, now it's pie. Why don't you eat pie on this show? I'm not gonna eat. Well, I'm gonna eat a little bit.
But there it is.
They gave me a pie for my birthday, and it made sense to bring it on. The problem is, Flo, you were supposed to be in studio to eat this pie with me. So now it's like I'm just here with a pie.
Wow, I feel really bad now.
Flo ruined Jason's birthday.
Flo, how could you do this? And don't worry, the little hand is here to get his own.
Oh, jeez. What kind of pie is it?
I don't know. It's a cream pie of some sort. It might be like a coconut cream pie or something. Oh, my goodness. Get that hand away from there.
I am so jealous. I want some coconut cream pie.
So here's the challenge. Since I'm here literally like on my own with a pie, we're going to check in on this. I'm not going to eat on the stream. I'm not going to eat into the microphone, but I'm going to see how far I can get into this pie by the end of the show.
Wow.
Is that weird?
And then after this episode airs, you can download a specially separate audio of Jason eating pie for
no,
your ASMR needs.
Please don't.
To help you lull you to sleep.
This bit might just be too weird, actually. Now that I'm like saying it out loud, I'm like, I don't know if I actually want to do this.
But I feel like it's your birthday. You should have a bite of your pie before we get started. And while you're doing that, eating on mic, I will explain that in 7 years from now, assuming there's a version of Android every year, we will be celebrating your birthday and talking about Android W, which potentially could be watermelon. So there you go.
That would be messy. Yeah. But not nearly as messy. Oh, sorry.
Or waffles.
Sorry. Waffles aren't a dessert, Victor.
Yeah, waffles could be.
Waffles are a breakfast.
Waffles with ice cream drizzled with maple syrup.
Belgian that's waffle. Pretty good. Oh, right there. That's
pretty good. Wow. My kids would disagree.
All right.
Wow.
Hey, yeah.
Nobody said whatchamacallits.
Whatchamacallits.
That would be a good one. Caitlin, I'm sorry that this is what you were greeted to the very first time you ever come on our show. You're like, what did
I
even?
Oh, we have. Why didn't I come to the studio?
Exactly. Next time we can make that happen.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Thank you. While I eat probably the one and only bite that I'm actually going to eat throughout the course of this show, Victor, why don't you take it away? Because it is time for some news.
I'm sure if Burke's little hands could have held up that pie, that pie would have been in Jason's face by now. Here's Android News.
That's pretty good. Say that's really fair. That's fair.
That was stumbly, Victor.
No, it would make for good TV.
I was thinking that's what Flo could have done. She was in.
True. If you're sitting here, Flo. Instead, you're going to talk about something that Google has in store for us.
Yes. Google has officially made it official. There's going to be an event for the Pixel. It will happen on October 9th with a live stream that will begin at 11 a.m. Eastern time. 8 a.m.? 11 a.m.? Wait a minute. We have to get up earlier on the West Coast? Hold on. I missed this detail, and now I need to protest.
As the local New Yorker, I'm going to say, okay, cool. 11 a.m., let's do it.
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 11 a.m. Eastern, right? It's not 11 a.m. Pacific.
No, it's 11 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's because it's taking place in New York this year. So the event is in New York. It's on the East Coast. The last couple of years, it's been here in San Francisco. Also, there's going to be a parallel event from some French publications got an invite for an I Love Paris event the same time as New York. Or whatever that time is in Paris.
Yeah,
nice.
The same time globally.
Nighttime over there. I think it's like 6 p.m. or something.
So I think we should applaud Google for being nice enough to hold their event on a Tuesday morning so that we can then talk about it on the show later that evening. So thank you, Google. So finally, we've aligned our schedules. Good job, Google.
Yeah, it rarely works out this way. I think I'm gone. I'm out of town when this happens. I would have been here if it was the normal, or at least the last 2 years. I think it's been on the 4th, right? And I would have been here for that, but I'm out on the 9th, so I won't be able to do that. I think possibly you guys might be doing something.
That's
with
the
that.
Rumor.
That's the rumor. Yeah. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
You know, Evan Blass hasn't leaked anything, but
he doesn't need to.
Some renders out there. Of me and Ron, you know, live pundaging.
Evan Blass, like, he can take this one off because everybody else has leaked so much about this. Caitlin, I imagine at some point, I mean, it sounds like for Tom's Guide, you do a lot of traveling for some of these announcements and everything. Have you been to a Pixel event, hardware event before?
I actually haven't. So I'm not sure if I'm going to this one. I've been focused on Berlin and IFA and now Apple tomorrow. So when I get back, I'll figure it out. Hopefully I'll get to go.
Yeah. You'll already be in New York. It would be, that would make a lot of sense.
So
it's in the neighborhood.
Caitlin, yeah. Right down the street.
So Caitlin, do you think they're going to announce a new phone at this event?
The odds are pretty good. You know, I've heard some things, but I can't confirm. I can't confirm anything.
No one knows for sure. I mean, I guess the reality is we don't actually know for sure that they will, but they will. It's going to happen, right? And Ron, you might have some interesting theories behind.
Well, yeah. So in the rumors and speculation department, I feel like it's been months of just us seeing photos and leaks and all this sort of stuff. This has been the leakiest ship of a Google announcement there ever was. But now there's some counter programming to that with some reverse speculation. So multiple YouTube channels that were super critical of the designs are being contacted by Google. Interesting. They're inquiring about using their clips in an upcoming event to create a quote-unquote very specific narrative about how terrible the phone looks, according to Front Page Tech on YouTube. So that opens the door to the theory. Did Google allow these renders and these leaks and these, you know, the Ukrainian thing and all this stuff to happen to get people to react, only to announce a better looking device and position it that way.
Oh boy, that's a long con, don't you think?
I love a good conspiracy theory, yeah. But I can't imagine anybody A, coming up with this and then getting it approved up to that level, although that's a risky proposition. Caitlin, do you give any credence to this theory at all? Do you think this is what's going on here? Are we being conned?
I don't know, but I hope so. That's clever. Right? I love that idea. I mean, yeah, I'm getting tired of seeing all of these leaks and then the device comes out and it's the same thing you've seen for months. Like, where's the surprise anymore? So, yeah, I hope that's what they're planning. That would be great.
Yeah, it seems like a very long distance to, like, thinking about it from like a marketing group standpoint for, you know, the massive behemoth that Google is, would a marketing group actually think, let's put out a bunch of fake phones that exaggerate features to convince some people that are actually paying attention that our next phone might actually be really bad? Like, that right there seems like a big risk to take. That's, from a marketing standpoint.
It's a huge risk because you're putting that out there in the world to talk about, right. And you're hoping that people take that bait. Right. And now you've got weeks of people talking about how bad your product is, even if it's not the product and it was a big con. All that the internet never forgets. We know that. So all that stuff will still be out there. And again, the risk factor of this, because what if people liked it and then that's not the phone you show? Like, it leaves too much at the hands that you can't control. And as someone who's worked in marketing for longer than I wish I had and do, you want to control the message as much as possible.
Yeah. Bleak in the chat says it's not worth the effort. The Pixel is a small volume smartphone. Comparatively speaking, that's probably the case. Now, Flo, maybe you're the one to ask on this because you were the one last week that kind of came out pretty strongly on the side of, like, these aren't real. So what do you think?
Yes.
Could this be a part of that theory that you're right, these aren't real. These were a ruse created by Google to distract you from the real thing that they're going to show on stage, that suddenly they'll lift off the covers from it and everybody will go, oh, that's much more beautiful than the fake ones we saw before. What do you think?
I think Google's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
I think Google has billions of dollars it owes the EU for a fine right now. That's like way too much work in the midst of all the time they have to spend in court right now for various reasons.
Fair enough.
Let me tell you, when you work with a brand that has got a lot of people interested in it, there is a ton of desire and potential to fool them and to do gotchas when people are trying to guess everything you're doing, stuff like that. But again, to Flo's point, I feel like there's more important things going on than coming up with this. That's why I just don't think it would get approved. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I couldn't see it getting approved either.
But I'm with Caitlin. I hope that's the case. I hope they get up there and be like, fooled you, here it is. And it's a foldable roll-up phone that's better than Samsung's. That's what I want to say.
Wow, yeah.
Foldable rolled-up phone.
Dream big. Just,
yeah, like dream it. Big.
Rumble exactly. It in a ball.
Yeah.
Keep holding your breath there, Ron. We'll see what happens. All right, so we're changing around the order of things a little bit. We're going to jump into hardware, but not the normal style hardware, more the wearable style hardware. That's what we're going to do right now. Oh, that was a horrible throw.
Yeah.
Think of this. Whatever.
Come at me. It's my birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday. You do what you want. It's fine.
I'm sugar high from all the pie. Okay. So, Caitlin, you wrote about, were you at the Qualcomm event? They had an event on Monday. They a big announcement. Thinking, man, you are busy. You wrote about Qualcomm's big announcement. It has everything to do with Android Wear. Tell us a little bit about what you covered.
So Qualcomm just announced the Snapdragon Wear 3100, which is the new chip that will power the next generation of Wear OS devices. So the current crop of Android smartwatches out there right now are running on the 3100, which is 2.5 years old. You know, it's not quite up there with the other smartwatch rivals on the market in terms of processing power and battery life and features. So Qualcomm says they've been working on this since 2100 came out. They've been working with Google to, you know, put together something that will make Wear OS a whole lot better. So Google's been improving things on the software side, but they really needed Qualcomm to step it up. So I was at the event on, was it Monday? Oh my gosh, what's happening to this week? I was at the event and they had a reference device demoing some of the new features. So there's, you know, extended battery life. There's a feature that turns it, that activates traditional watch mode. So you can get up to a week of battery life if you don't need all of the full-fledged smartwatch features. And if you activate traditional watch mode, you know, as soon as it's charged, you can run it for close to a month without charging it. And then there's a sports mode, which they've been pretty quiet on what that will entail exactly. But there's a big sports smartwatch customer that will be using the 3100 early next year. So we'll see what that experience will be like. And yeah, so hopefully this will fix some of the big problems we've had with Wear OS, which is namely the performance. I mean, these watches are kind of sluggish, especially compared to, you know, the new Galaxy Watch, which is very snappy. Battery life is great. The Apple Watch, obviously a huge competitor. So hopefully with, you know, Qualcomm on the hardware side and Google on the software side, these watches will get a lot better.
Battery efficiency is such a high priority for wearables, right? Like that's the major complaint that people seem to have about, or and at least Android Wear. I'm sure the Apple Watch, I mean, in my experience with it, it did better than a lot of what I had encountered with Android Wear. But focusing on this and on the, you know, the full kind of battery mode, if you've got things ramped up, you know, lasting a couple of days, if you peel things back, getting a week out of it, or peeling things back even further to where you can get up to 30 days, which I think we heard the Casio watch from last week. I'm not sure if it's has this processor in it or not, but that's what they were touting.
It does not.
They were tackling this from a different route. There is a watch now that was announced, the Mont Blanc?
Mm-hmm.
Summit 2, which is being touted as the first Wear OS watch with the 3100 for an October release. No price on that. It's going to be an expensive one, though, and it's going to have a lot of these, you know, a lot of these functions built into it. So I'll be really curious to see when people are playing around with these watches, how much time they actually get. Because everybody, I mean, I feel like with phones, with watches and everything, the outlook is always very rosy when it comes to your battery performance. And then you get it and you live with it, and then you realize it's not quite what you expected. So I hope they can live up to what they're promising here.
Yeah, I think that at least with a smartwatch, what Qualcomm said is that, you know, 5% of the time you're wearing it, you're actually interacting with it. 95% of the time, so basically almost all of the time you're wearing this watch, you're not actively engaged with it. So the fact that they only last 18 to 24 hours is really sad. Like, they really should last longer than that. So I think that was a huge priority for them. And they've said that they will continue to push out updates to this platform to improve battery life even next year. So this will be a huge improvement.
Yeah. GPS mode up to 15 hours, new NFC chip in there for mobile payment capabilities, which will be really nice. And then one thing that I really liked that stood out to me was this enhanced ambient mode, which ambient mode is kind of how, you know, they're able to stretch the battery out, remove, you know, some of the display characteristics, I think. But in days of old, an ambient mode would, you know, blank out after a while unless you moved your wrist, and then maybe it would come back on, and even then it would be a single monochrome color or something like that. Well, you know, a lot of these brands like Montblanc and some of the other premium watchmakers want to be able to put on their own branded, their own independently created watch faces on here and have it not look, you know, this monotone or the monocolor thing that just disappears. So apparently this new processor enables an enhanced ambient mode for 16 color watch face support. When it goes in ambient mode, it's still going to have kind of this full color layout and yet at the same time also give you that battery extension that you want. So that Ooh. Could be good.
I think it's also very telling that a lot of the brands that came out of this, that came backing it, were fashion brands. I mean, Yeah. I've been saying that for a while now, that fashion is going to be the thing that carries Wear OS through, because clearly it wasn't working coming from LG. And then Samsung went off and did its own thing.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I'm like, how comfortable are these going to be to wear? I didn't see anything for smaller wrists from anybody that was at the event. I'm still wondering what software we're going to have with this. Google Fit is still extremely underbaked, and I think it needs more than just a makeover for it to really become something that I want to buy a watch for.
Right.
And I just don't feel like there's any reason for me to buy an Android Wear watch. I don't need it.
Well, but it's funny because I feel like with this announcement, with the processor, and with the last week we were talking about the updates to the operating system, it's getting to that maturity level. And talking, Jason, you know, when you're going through the specs, you mentioned NFC for contactless payments. I was just at the ball game the other day, and all of the registers at the Mets Stadium, at Citi Field, all have POS systems that take NFC. And I paid for everything with my phone the other night. And now take that to the watch kind of environment. You know, like, this is something that on the Apple side they have, and I see people using and all that fun stuff. You know, if we're getting to the point where the watch OS is able to actually be functional and be elegantly designed and play into the fitness side of things and the watchmaker brands and the fashion brands, it might be maturing and to the point where it's a viable device that I would reconsider after the first wave, after my guacher.
Your guacher. Yeah. Oh, the guacher. Yeah.
The guacher.
I'm just a little, like, verklempt, because I just feel like this has been revamped time and time again, just like trying to come out as like, hey, it's a wearable. And so I just want to see something work, and I hope that fashion brands taking it on are going to be the thing that like moves it, which I think it will, because if you let them do the marketing for you and you just provide them the technology and it works the same, I mean, I'm imagining you're just going to be able to pick and choose. If I want like a fancy watch that tracks my steps, I'll go to Fossil. If I want a fancy watch that tracks my location, I'll go to Casio, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for the actual watchmakers to make watches that are appealing. You know what I mean? Like, the first wave of smartwatches seem to be built around technology companies building a watch.
Exactly.
And they ended up like pieces of technology as opposed to actual wrist, you know, the actual things that you want to wear on your wrist for prolonged periods of time. So if people are willing to spend what I think the Mont Blanc Summit 1, someone in chat said, you know, costs upwards of $1,325 at its cheapest, said Bleak. I think I saw $890, but still very expensive. If you're buying that type of a watch, I mean, you're buying it not because it's a smartwatch necessarily, but because it's, you know, it's a watch first and foremost, and maybe it has a certain style that particular brand brings to the table, and it doesn't look like a phone on your wrist, which is what we're getting from technology companies. So,
yes, yeah. But I also still want like the $180 Fossil watch with some of that Android Wear OS technology.
Sure.
I keep saying the wrong thing. I want some of that on there. Just be able to have that. I really think the watchmakers should have been making this stuff in the first place, but because they didn't have... I mean, they didn't have the foresight to think about the technical advancements that we would have.
Right.
They invest into those sort of things. No, just kidding. But in all honesty, I think they're going to be the ones to carry this, because it makes no sense it makes sense to buy an Apple Watch, because if you buy an Apple product, you know Apple for design. You like the product because it's well designed, and they made a watch that you want to wear. Because I'm wearing an Apple thing. And that's totally a thing to say. You weren't really saying that about Android before. It was just like Android was the utilitarian.
Yep.
And so when they tried to make Android Wear utilitarian, it was like, what is this? Like, this is great for developers and people with big wrists, but I'm everyday.
Man, you really have it in for people with wrists.
I do. Because everything is so big and it's just so frustrating. And it's like, hello, I've been wanting to wear a watch for like so long.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me one. I'm here. I want to give you money.
Well, and with this new processor, I mean, if our old paradigm with the first generation of Android smartwatches was they're all chunky and it only gets you through a day, maybe with this new processor, it can be slimmer and still get you through a day, But it's slimmer, and you're actually okay with it because, hey, what do you know? You get through a day, and it's not this gigantic brick on your wrist. Like, that's
exactly.
There will be people that will be happy for that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Hear my cries. Hear my pleas.
Google's all listening. Right. All right, let's take a break.
Well, you know who else is listening? Our first sponsor of the evening, LegalZoom, is listening to help you with all of your legal needs. Because you know the saying, time is money. Let me tell you, that is absolutely true. If I've learned one thing in my professional career, time is indeed money. And it's especially when you run your own business. Running a successful business involves taxes, contracts, a whole lot of the fine print. And those are things that eat up too much of your time. Well, it's time to turn to LegalZoom. Over the past 17 years, more than 1 million Americans have used LegalZoom to help launch their businesses. But that's only the beginning. LegalZoom has a network of independent attorneys and tax professionals who can provide you with the advice you need to get through the daily grind of running your business. And the best part is you don't have to worry about driving to anyone's office or being billed by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. You can count on LegalZoom to provide the business resources you need and the service that fits into your schedule. So invest your time and money into growing your business and let LegalZoom help with the legal stuff. And that help is, trust me, when you're trying to grow a business, you don't want to worry about this stuff. I'm more worried about screwing this stuff up. So getting advice from LegalZoom helps you not screw things up and keep your business afloat. So go to LegalZoom.com and use promo code AAA at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com and use code AAA. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Thanks, LegalZoom, for supporting this episode of All About Android.
That is right. Thank you, LegalZoom. All right, and now we'll jump into the normal hardware, the one you're used to. When we talk about a whole lot more than the wearable hardware. There just hasn't been a whole lot of wearable news lately, and then suddenly in the last couple of weeks it's been
boom.
Been pouring out.
Because the holidays are coming up, that's why.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Convincing us to get another wearable again a couple of years after I kind of gave up on them. Flo, you got the first one.
Yes, and we've got the second OnePlus flagship coming out later this year, apparently. So yes, OnePlus is gearing up for its second gen flagship release for the year. We're talking about the OnePlus 6T, which was very a standard thing that they kind of started doing. Was it last year or the year before? Yeah, it was the year before with the 3T. So OnePlus has confirmed to CNET that the new device will have an in-display fingerprint reader, which is super exciting because that's basically what we've been waiting for Samsung to do, and they didn't do it first. So there's that. This is going to help facilitate a screen unlock. And OnePlus said that by adding this feature as an addition to other display unlocking options, such as face unlock, users will have the option to unlock the display in a way that is more efficient for them. So leaks of the box first hinted at this feature. And of course, now we have somewhat confirmed from the company themselves. This would make the 6T the first U.S. phone to have this.
Like major, like more,
like
you know.
Major thing more, that we've been waiting
available.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was originally intended to appear in the 5T, apparently, but the tech wasn't mature enough, which makes sense. I mean, it makes sense in this, like, how manufacturing goes.
Yeah.
The 6T will be slightly thicker as well, and I wonder if that's to accommodate the sensor.
Yeah, some of that technology
underneath the display. Also, very good news for those of you who are on T-Mobile is the 6T will have a carrier deal with T-Mobile, so you'll be able to buy it through them, and the expected launch is in October, which is coming right up.
Nice.
Does the T stand for T-Mobile in the 6T?
Yeah. Probably not. I think it stands for...
It's a nice coincidence.
Tenaciousness.
That is a good question. I wonder why they picked the letter T. Perhaps we should ask them. Get them on the phone. Work on that. Work on getting them on the phone right now. Caitlin, have you had any time like with OnePlus hardware? I know I'm personally a pretty big fan of what you get for the money, but what do you think about the idea of this under screen, like behind the display fingerprint sensor technology is the next wave?
So I've seen a couple of the Chinese phones that have incorporated this technology, and it's not quite seamless, at least in my experience, but maybe OnePlus has figured it out. I assume they wouldn't put out a device that was half-baked.
Right.
I really like the OnePlus 6 a lot, especially for the price. So I'm hopeful that the 6T will, you know, push the boundaries a little bit while still being, you know, relatively affordable when you consider how much phones cost these days.
Yeah. And I feel like with every release, every OnePlus phone release kind of creeps up just a little bit in price every single time. It's like, this one's $20 more than the last model. So that kind of affordability gap. I mean, they're still priced so well for the quality
compared
of the hardware,
to a Samsung device.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It's still
and
half.
Samsung devices are getting more expensive.
Yeah. And I think the carrier support is a huge deal. I feel like the lack of that has really held them back. So this could be a big deal for them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Totally. That's a huge piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's the thing we always complain about. Like every single year, it's like, OnePlus is really amazing. Too bad most people won't ever get one because people, at least here in the U.S., people are not very used to, you know, it's just not part of the routine to go online and buy it through a website. They go into a carrier store. And having a T-Mobile deal, T-Mobile makes a whole lot of sense for them to have the deal with T-Mobile. So that's great.
Yes. And also, I'm very curious to see how it's going to be priced. Like, how are they going to price it for, I mean, I know they're probably going to do the $25 a month thing, which is kind of how you like lease a phone because you can turn it back in after 2 years. But I wonder what that program is going to be like because this is a cheaper phone than the other phones that they offer that program for.
Right. Yeah. I suppose we won't have to wait very long to find out.
It'll be a good test run for other like brands that want to come in through a company like T-Mobile. I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm a proud T-Mobile customer, and I'm currently a proud OnePlus phone owner. But T-Mobile's been, I've been with T-Mobile since Android. Like, I switched to T-Mobile to get the Android G1, and I've never looked back. I'm desperately horrified to look at the at new contracts compared to the one that I'm grandfathered in with unlimited data, and I've got unlimited everything, and I pay next to nothing, and so like I don't want to screw that up.
Yeah.
But T-Mobile service has been great. I can't complain. I think they're good. I always get the updates. Like it's good stuff. So.
Yep.
Yeah. So a long, long time ago, there was a little phone that could called the Nexbit Robin that I loved. And then it got bought by Razer, which is cool. And then they rolled out the Razer phone, which is kind of like a edgy gamer phone. And that came out a little less than a year ago. It came out December 2017. Well, it turns out that it's been successful enough to garner a sequel. So according to Razer's 2018 financial report, the Razer phone, which launched in 2017 and focusing on gaming, including a 120 hertz refresh rate. And they're talking about the Razer phone 2 coming out. It showed up in AnTuTu and it revealed the following Snapdragon 845 with 8 gig of RAM and 512 gig internal storage. Still has that 120 hertz refresh rate and the same 16:9 QHD display. But of course, in reporting this, Razer declined to comment. So who knows if this is actually going to be a real thing or not. So,
but it's
a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, and you were a user of the pre-Razer phone, Ron, right?
Love the Nexbit Robin.
So this is kind of like the spiritual successor of the spiritual successor. This whole gaming phone thing seems to be picking up a little bit of steam. And I think the Razer phone was one of the first ones to really do this. But there's the, the ROG? Is it the ROG? The
ROG, Republic of Gamers.
There we go.
With the fan.
These games that are, there are these phones that are coming out that are really kind of designed
they're
or
like
at least
PCs.
Marketing themselves with features that actual gamers are going to care about. You know, that's definitely a category that I think is working, especially when you consider that games on mobile devices are just becoming more, you know, require more out of them, but are becoming in many ways very console-like. You know, we're starting to see Fortnite and PUBG and these games that even on a mobile device seem more like they were from a console. So it makes sense that these phones would probably go a long way to helping gamers play those.
Or Roller Coaster Tycoon. That's also in the Play Store. Plays really well on a tablet.
That too. You need maximum processing power, speed, memory, and everything.
You would be surprised how many times that game has crashed on me before I could save.
You can hear the fan inside your phone ramping up.
Just like the PC days, right?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. So I thought that we should talk just real briefly here about the Shield TV. You know the NVIDIA Shield. This thing's been around since 2015. As far as Android,
long time.
Well, in this like technology world we live in, 2015 seems like a while ago.
Yeah, it was
3 years. The Shield TV has continued to do what most hardware makers tend to not do, and that's to actually support their hardware for that amount of time. 3 solid years with updates. Still, I would say, regarded by many as the best Android TV device on the market, and to large part because of these software updates, these regular updates. They just released their 20th software upgrade to the hardware. And, it brings up a bunch of good features, actually, not like minor features. New update brings headset mic support to the Shield controller so that games like Fortnite and PUBG, when you're playing those, you can actually, participate and talk in those games in ways that you couldn't before. You could talk smack. Yeah, it's going to make some people happy anyways. NVIDIA Share, which is streaming gameplay to Twitch, sharing screenshots, game highlights and stuff. That was a feature that went away. Now they're bringing it back due to popular demand. Support for 120 hertz TVs and monitors. Like actual noticeable improvements to a piece of hardware that's 3 years old. And, I feel like so often we talk about how things don't get updates on this show. And this is one of those exceptions to the rule. And it's important to call it out and say, hey, you're doing a great job. So I think I understand why people that own the Shield TV are so positive on them. I don't have one, though. I should probably get one. Or maybe I should wait at this point. It's 3 years old. I should probably wait, right?
Yeah. Wait for the update.
Well,
yeah.
They make, graphics cards and hardware, so they're very used to updating keeping firmware updated and sort of like maintaining a backlog of hardware. Because when you're making internal hardware for PCs and such, it's like you can't just stop supporting it. So I wonder, maybe this should set a precedent for some other brands out there that want to like get into other hardware and want to use an Android,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's a little different because this is an Android TV box, like it's not a phone. And so often we see these manufacturers coming out with so many phones that then the challenge becomes, how do you support all those phones for as long as you want, as long as users want them to? Meanwhile, they're moving on to these new devices and Android TV boxes like...
Well, I was going to say, how many Android TV boxes do you see that have a lifespan of more than 3 years? Like, that's crazy. Like, normally they're released and abandoned, abandoned, so.
Yeah. Have you had much experience with or much time spent with Android TV, Caitlin? Or, like, I know I mean to, but I just don't. My PS3 is fine, and I probably need to get over that.
Yeah. No, I have zero experience with Android TV. I'll be quite honest. Yeah. I have a PS4, I have a Chromecast, Apple TV, but Android TV just haven't had any experience with it. I guess I should check out NVIDIA Shield because they're doing great things apparently. This is news to me.
Yeah. I mean, and I do wonder at what point they roll out new hardware, which is probably what I would personally do is wait for the next one. But I think what this does is this is really telling as far as like their ethos in how they treat updates on a device like this. So if I was holding out to buy their hardware, I might wait. Maybe you wait forever, I don't know, but wait for the next hardware because 3 years is a long time of a gap, and then be confident that the next hardware they put out, it's going to be supported for a long time. It's a good approach.
I don't want to wait.
Don't wait.
For a new Shield.
Oh, jeez.
I caught that too late. Oh, don't do it. Don't go there.
In there.
Who is that? Wait a minute. Who is that?
Paula Cole. Wow, sorry. I forgot her name. I'm sorry, Paula Cole.
The theme song to Dawson's Creek.
Is it the Dawson's Creek theme? Was Victor?
Oh, yes, it
so
is.
Good.
Okay.
So good.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Flo.
Sorry.
Appreciate it.
Hurricane flow hits again.
Yeah, your punishment is to read this email. But it's a good email, okay. So that's not even a punishment. I don't know.
Well, great. So we've got an email from, this one comes from Mont. So Mont wrote in, my wife's phone, a Sony Xperia, small version, has a battery problem and all the videos about how to replace it are, well, rather involved and include a heat gun and other little tools. And that's a bit drastic just to replace the battery.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there is a decent small phone under 5 inches. The Sony is 4.6. One that has a replaceable battery would be preferable. Android One would be a plus. Thanks for all that you do and keep up the good work. Thanks, Mont. So we're going to try and help you on this one. So unfortunately, removable batteries aren't really the thing anymore. You can just give it up to planned obsolescence. It's just the thing that gets you to buy new stuff.
Yeah, it seems that way.
But yes, also, you know, there are less room for other components in phones, the smaller that they get. And if you want a bigger battery, you know, it's not really easy to design to that. Not to mention, if you wanted a waterproof phone, which a lot of high-end phones that are coming out are water-resistant, you have to be able to house that, you know, in enough padding so that water doesn't get in there. So your options are going to be a tad slim. So what we've got under the 5-inch, well, actually, we've got the Moto E5 Play, which is 5.2 inches with an 8-megapixel camera. It's a very basic phone. It has a 2800 milliamp battery, has a fingerprint sensor for security, but I don't know if you want to go for that like $100 sort of price point. Also in that price point is the Moto E4. That's also got a 2800 milliamp removable battery, 5-inch display. So right on the size that you were looking for, a Snapdragon 425. So it's pretty mid to low end and it's from last year. So that's kind of why you get that really incredible price. Around $100. There's also the LG V20, which is kind of old. So old is relative, but 2 years is kind of old. And we were talking about software updates not really being a thing in this realm. Who knows how much longer LG is going to support this phone. But this has a 5.7-inch display, so it's much bigger than what you're looking for. But again, removable battery. The whole point of that phone was to appeal to, you know, creators and people who really like the ability to take out a battery out of the phone and put another one in so you can make video all the time. Never run out of battery. There's also the Nokia One, and that is also around the 100-ish dollar mark. That's a 4.5-inch screen. It's got 2150 milliamp battery life, but it's running Android Go, which is like super.
Yeah, probably.
You might want to look. I want to suggest to you to look towards Project Fi and looking at the Moto X4.
Does that have a removable battery?
It doesn't have a removable battery, but see if your wife might like it. I don't know.
I know.
It's a small phone and it's got Android One and it's got a pretty good battery life and a pretty good camera. And I would say it's worth the money. It's just the removable battery thing is not.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
It's just not a thing anymore.
It's going to be a challenge. It's so funny that removable batteries used to be so, I mean, that used to be like a primary kind of call out feature on a spec sheet. And I think it's at some point they just started opting for non-removable battery because it enabled so many other things that people were asking for, slimmer phones, waterproofing, like Flo said. And then, you know, in some cases, some manufacturers are releasing versions of their phone that are like max versions, which, you know, max out the battery to like 5,000 milliamp hour batteries or whatever to like make up for that, because some people still really want an insanely large
battery. Or did they stop putting removable batteries so that they could sell us more phones?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Caitlin? Is this conspiracy? Today's episode is full of conspiracy. What do you think?
You know, I think Flo's on to something. But actually, my favorite small Android phone is the Xperia XZ2 Compact, which I love. And it came out this year. It has, you know, the most up-to-date specs. The performance was great when I tested it. No removable battery. But I think if you're looking for a phone at that size, you're going to have to accept some trade-offs.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of sounds that way. What is this? So the XZ2... Or the XZ2. Yes.
The XZ2 compact, yes.
Let's see here. What is the screen size on that one? That one is...
I believe it's 5 inches, I want to say.
Is it 5? For whatever reason, this spec sheet is not... 5? Oh, you know what? It's a little bit larger. It's 5.7. That's a big jump.
But the body is very small.
Right. So you get, that's a good consideration. That's a good point because what they're doing nowadays is that they're able to reduce the actual body size, even though the display is getting bigger because they're, reducing bezel and that sort of stuff. So locking yourself into sub 5 inches might not make as much sense now if you get a 5.2 or 5.5 inch display and knocks out those bezels, then the actual size of the phone is going to be smaller anyway. So
I think the reason people want a smaller phone is the feel of it in the hand. Yeah. And I'm a person with small hands, small pockets, and I think the XZ2 compact is the best of the bunch for now.
Yeah. Awesome. And that's a Sony recommendation, which we talk about it on the show many times. Like, we're always looking for the Sony users because I feel like in the US it's few and far between. It's hard to find. So there you go. And Mont, your wife is already a Sony Xperia user, so used to that as well. So maybe that's a good alternative. A little bit larger, but worth checking out. So I hope that helps you out. All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll get into a couple of apps, news, things, stories, whatever. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you're looking for a home, you want to buy a home, maybe you're a first-time home buyer, or maybe you're not. Maybe you own a home and you're thinking about, trading up in some way, shape, or form. Guaranteed, you've been watching the interest rates because they've been steadily rising, and that can make a lot of people nervous. It's very unpredictable to know where they're headed. Is now the right time to jump, or do you wait? There's a lot of anxiety built into these things because this is a lot of money that you're spending when you buy a home. Well, our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process, and it's really easy. So I'll explain it to you to kind of give you an idea of how this works. The first thing that happens is you answer a few simple questions. They're going to check your credit for pre-qualified approval. So you're going to be pre-qualified at that point. Then Quicken Loans is going to verify your income, your assets, and credit in less than 24 hours, super quick turnaround, and that'll give you a verified approval. So your verified approval, this gives you the strength of a cash buyer in the market, which is awesome. That's as good as it possibly gets. Once you're verified, you qualify for their new exclusive rate shield approval. And this basically means that they're going to lock up your rate, whatever it is at that point, for up to 90 days while you shop for your home. And the best part is that if those rates happen to go up, if the Fed raises the rates, the interest rates, you're still locked in. You've got those 90 days covered. You're locked into that rate from day one. Your rate stays the same. But if the rates go down, if the Fed drops the rates at any time, your rate will also drop. So it's going to keep in line with the market. Either way, you win. And it's just awesome thinking on the part of America's largest mortgage lender. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. Rate shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of this show and the Twit Network. And with that, it's time for a few apps stories. All right, Ron, you got the first one. Although you might be muted.
I was muted, but okay. Not anymore. You can't stop me now.
Welcome back. Skype. You talk while I eat pie.
You eat some pie, Jason. And I want to sit everyone down and talk about loyalty programs. You love them. Every organization has them. I've got all these cards coming out the wazoo. I've got virtual cards in my Google Wallet. Well, now you can add another one to your virtual Google Wallet, and that's Google Play Points, coming soon to the Google Play Store. 9to5 Google did an APK insight, and they discovered this upcoming feature deep buried within the APK. There's a prompt to sign up for a loyalty program, and you can earn points with every Play purchase. And this includes music, movies, TV shows, books, and, of course, the apps. And you can earn a point for every dollar spent, and multiple levels to achieve with different medals for each and different level benefits. And points are redeemable for play credit or specials in app items. And the balance does expire at some point. So I got to say, given the number of apps we go through on a weekly basis, it sounds like we're going to be drowning in Google Play points. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I cannot wait.
Yeah. But also, given that I use Google Play movies for my movie rentals and stuff like that, movie purchases like that, I'm curious to see what the redeemable things would be. Hopefully, I'm hoping I can get an Android stuffed plushie like at the carnival. But we'll see. I don't know.
Or an Android hat. One of those, yeah. Like
green. A beanie. Yeah, green type beanie, of the green hat thing. Things. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So obviously, yeah. This isn't rolling out yet. This is just kind of in the APK. But yeah. I don't know. I think that's nice. I don't know how. I don't know how like beneficial these sorts of things actually end up being.
Listen, they're going to send out a catalog every year, and then you can save up your points to redeem them for all of this Google stuff.
Is it going to be like what was that? What was the air the catalog when you're on the airplane?
Sky Mall.
Is it going to be like Sky Mall?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be Sky like. Mall.
Oh, actually, I'd probably pick some stuff up through SkyMall if there was a Google loyalty points program tied into
probably
it.
Probably sure. Be like an Android Things board, yeah. And like...
Yeah. Yeah, right. Really nerdy SkyMall. Only nerds would appreciate it.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it too.
A good deal.
Does iOS have a loyalty thing? Like, is there a precedent on this sort of thing? Like... It's successful.
I don't think there's an iOS loyalty program. Is there? The Apple doesn't have a loyalty program.
Like in their app store. They probably don't need it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say they consider the fact that you're allowed to buy their stuff as a loyalty program.
Enough people are buying things on iOS anyways that they don't feel like they need to roll out a loyalty program to convince people to do it.
Exactly. By the way, I found out that the Google Rewards surveys gives out, I didn't know this, but apparently you get like a PayPal drop off in your email after you've accumulated a certain number of like money for iOS users of the survey app because they don't get Google Play credit.
Oh.
Oh.
So they don't have getting a Play Store.
Cash deposit? Yeah.
And they just get a cash deposit and it just shows up to their PayPal account. And I had no idea that this is how it's done. And I was like, oh, of course, you guys don't have the Google Play Store. Like, you can't do anything with this currency.
What are you going to do with that? Is Play Movies or anything like that? Is that on iOS? Like,
yes.
Your movie library and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think so.
The library could be there, but maybe I don't know. You know.
Yeah, the library is and books, but.
Right. Interesting. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Well, off and on, it's been a thread over the last couple of months. 9to5 Google has revealed some design experiments for something we talked about. I think, Ron, you mentioned it a few weeks back, called Shortwave, which is Google's as yet unannounced. Officially anyways, experimental podcasting app. And these design experiments, Google has already contacted 9to5 Google to basically get in there and say, actually, these are really old and, teams are constantly experimenting. They're iterating. The shortwave team has long waved goodbye to this approach. I don't think that means that they've waved goodbye to the concept, but maybe this approach, which to me kind of hints that if they have greater podcast kind of support ambitions, maybe this gets folded into it. But this does give some insight into exactly, specifically what it might have been designed to do. And they say, and through these kind of design experiments, it shows that it was meant to solve two problems: finding content to listen to, so someone finding the right content to listen to, and then finding the time to listen to it. And what they're hinting at, or so it seems, is finding content within podcasts, which is definitely something we've talked about, some sort of way to say, I'm interested in this particular type of content, and either through shortwave or Google search or whatever, it would know this part of this podcast actually has that thing you're interested in. So not only finding it, but also in some way curating that and pulling those clips out so that it saves you, the listener, the time. So you don't have to listen to the stuff around it, which is an interesting concept when you think about creators who create podcasts start to finish. will they be okay with the fact that if something like this is implemented, that someone could just jump into their podcast, pull out a piece of it, and then move on with their life? And, you know, I don't know what that looks like necessarily, but interesting nonetheless.
It's a whole nother level of a conversation. I don't know if this is the appropriate show, but podcasting tech and like what people, both Google and podcast startups and other people are working on in and around the podcast world, of what they know technology can do and what they think listeners want. Mm-hmm. And the idea of like, well, I'm really only interested in wearable devices, so I want you to tell me when this podcast just talks about Wear OS and that sort of thing, as opposed to the entire experience of the podcast, which we as podcasters all know, that's, you know, you show up for the entire show. It's a show, and you sit down, enjoy everything, listen to the entire show. Don't listen to those little snippets. But it's interesting to see Google getting into this game, because I've seen a lot of startups playing with search and discoverability and audio search and all that sort of stuff. And someone's going to figure something out, I got to believe, in the next couple of years, because there's just too much stuff going on in the podcast world. And now that Google's in on it, I think that is an indicator of it. So,
yeah.
So it makes sense that Google would do this. I don't know if it's directly, I mean, I'm sure they want to come in and help shake up the podcast space, but this is just another way to add to its search engine technology.
Right.
I mean, this is AI that's scanning what people are saying, what real people are saying, and using that to index podcasting. And that is a crazy feat, because that's not something that we've really been able to do. And this is just going to make it easier to search through the podcasts, making them more discoverable. So then we end up all benefiting from the system, but it's because Google has all of this, has put all of its eggs in this particular, you know, the AI basket. That's how it's able to do all this stuff.
Yeah. Right. And how it's a lot of work, like the curating aspect of this. I wonder
how many machines, how long it took to teach those machines.
Sure. or will take or what.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they're going to be learning as we, like, they're going to be feeding on our podcast audio.
Oh, they're going to be feeding.
Someone's got to listen to all those podcasts. Not gonna be me.
Yeah, right. Then we'll truly be wondering how much of our, like, podcasts are already really difficult to understand how many people are actually listening to them. Like, there's only so far you can go. Once robots are truly listening to our podcast, we'll have no idea. But once those robots are given the ability to buy from our sponsors, we won't care.
Yep.
Then they become sentient beings that we can then.
Right. This robot listened to, you know, our LegalZoom ad, and they really, really were convinced. So the robot bought the services.
They're trying to sue their master.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, we'll see where that heads. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Google's cooking up in podcast. All right, one final email, Flo.
Yes, one final email. So this one comes out from Melvin, which, Melvin, I love your name, by the way. Hey, guys, love the show. Melvin, I love your name. On the Pi Concerns episode, Flo was talking about Google Flights, and I can tell you it's an amazing thing. I got a one-way flight to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, for $250 for the end of July. Most flights were around $500 about a month before the flight. The way I got that price was with the track flight prices feature. It alerted me via email of a price drop on a Delta flight, and I was able to snag that immediately. Plus, I got a window seat. So I would say Google Flights is amazing for tracking prices, which is the important part, right? And I would agree with you, Melvin, that that is the important part, which is why I've been tracking tickets overseas for Christmas. We'll see what comes out.
That's great, but I feel like the developers behind Hopper are sitting here listening to this going, hello? Like, I've been using Google Flights for years, and the web app, and I'm glad that now it's, you know, they've expanded it and done what they have. But, like, this stuff has been going on in the travel. I'm sure Matteo Doni would explain to us as well, too, with his experience. Like, what Google's doing with this isn't revolutionary. It's been going on for years with other apps.
Wow. But it's Google.
Yeah, exactly. It's because they added that brand name to it, and everyone's like, Google?
The poor developers.
Including me. I fell for it too.
The poor developers at Hopper are going, well, come on, just you. Like, we've been around forever. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. So what are our apps of choice? Like, would you guys say that the that Google's version of this is your app of choice? I'm trying to think of what I tend to turn to when it comes to this sort of thing.
And honestly, I use them both because I don't trust. I firmly believe the airlines are some of the guiltiest people in terms of price gouging and fixing and using your search data against you. That's why whenever I'm pricing for a flight, I do it in incognito browser.
Right.
And I try to do as much as I can because I know for a fact that if you search in your browser, you get cookied, you do a search, and then the second or third time prices go up and you'll see a different price if you're not on your computer with your cookies. Might be a little – this might be a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's part of the great green conspiracy.
I firmly believe it. So what I'll do is I'll use Google Flights and Hopper and do my own random searching just until I can find the price that I want. I feel like Hopper and Google Flights and this sort of stuff give you a good sense of trends. That's really what I'm looking for, is historical trends. Like, the price is $250 now, but if you wait 20 days, it will go up in whatever. So, okay, so I've got this window. That data seems reliable because they've been getting so much in the aggregate. And so that's what I do, at least. But I might be crazy.
Yeah. Caitlin, is Ron crazy? No, actually, don't tell me if Ron is crazy. Tell me, what do you use? Is there a service or a method that has worked well for you?
I use the same strategy, a similar strategy. I use Google Flights to figure out what time of year is the best to travel somewhere. So I recently went to Japan and I picked the worst time of year to go because it's the most expensive. But Google Flights told me that, and I went anyway. So it didn't do anything. But then I use in incognito mode. I use Kayak or some sort of travel aggregator to find the best mix of flights and times. I think it works out pretty well. I don't know. I don't like to buy flights or book travel on my phone. I feel like I need the full experience. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, I always do it in the web browser. I can't do it on the phone.
Yeah. Because you want to be able to spread it out, have multiple tabs. Booking.
Yeah. I've done a lot of late night, like, I want to go see my friends.
I'm going to book a ticket and come see you. We're going to leave this weekend. Oh, it'd be nice.
I'm not an impulsive traveler, yeah. So yeah. That approach would not.
You got to you got to work for your travel. I'm right there with you, Caitlin. Yeah. It's a puzzle, man. You got to figure it out. You got to get the best flight, like all that sort of stuff. You can't just do it on a whim.
Oh, but man, if you can be an impulsive traveler, if your life actually allows you to be an impulsive traveler, you can save a lot of money. You can save a lot of money waiting until.
It's true.
I don't mind going to New York in the winter. It saves me a lot of money. I just put on more layers.
That's true. That is true, Flo. All right. I think, Caitlin, you have to bow out because you've got, like we said, you're in Sunnyvale. You've got a big Apple event tomorrow that you're going to be covering for Tom Scott, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Big day tomorrow.
So if people go to tomscott.com tomorrow, are you guys doing coverage of the event, or will you be kind of taking in all the information and then posting some articles after the fact?
We're doing coverage at the event, and then we'll have, some analysis and comparison pieces of whatever happens to be announced. I'm not sure. Maybe some new iPhones. Who knows? So we'll have everything. So yeah, tomsguide.com.
Awesome. Caitlin McGarry, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. You can be found at twitter.com/Caitlin_McGarry. And of course, like we said, on tomsguide.com, follow her work there. Caitlin, it was a lot of fun having you on. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Have fun at the event tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye, Caitlin.
Bye, Caitlin.
Hey, Caitlin.
Until next time.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, and as the transitional component, I will eat pie. No, I won't. I will take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. And then when these guys are talking, I'll eat pie. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grammarly. I am a huge fan of Grammarly because I need it. To be completely honest, if Grammarly isn't there correcting my grammar or my spelling errors, like I come across an email not the way that I would like. And that's kind of the beauty of Grammarly. It's always working. It's always kind of keeping track of your sentence structure, and it poses for you these corrections, and it appears there in real time, and you accept it, and you feel smarter because it makes you sound smarter. Grammarly is the communication tool that can help improve your writing for different occasions, and it does so very easily once you have it installed, and in a number of ways that you can install it on your phone or on your laptop, your desktop, all sorts of ways. It's a great way to double check your important papers and documents. You want to make sure that you avoid those typos. They have a free version that'll get you started. But like I said, it's available cross-platform. So that's online, desktop, mobile. And there's actually a premium Grammarly version that allows users to track their writing skills and progress over time. So in addition to spelling and grammar, Grammarly Premium actually helps with advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, readability for different occasions, all sorts of advanced kind of ways that it's analyzing how you're writing and actually educating you to write better. 85% of surveyed premium users identified themselves as stronger writers as a result. So go to grammarly.com/android. You can get 20% off Grammarly Premium today. That's grammarly.com/android. Check it out for yourself. I promise you, you're going to like what you see. And we thank Grammarly for their support of All About Android. And now, bong, 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 it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Who's eating pie?
No, I'm not. I'm not eating pie.
I'll let you finish that bite of pie as I continue to say, one of my favorite things about the show is when the guy rolls his R in Android Arena.
Yes.
It's such a subtle touch, and it's so perfect. And I feel like we need to call it out at least once a quarter. So there you go.
It is indeed. Yes. Once a quarter. Yep. That's our ritual, our requirement. All right. So last week's episode, let's see here. Sorry, I've got to get rid of this pie. twit.to/AAAPoll385 was where you went to place your vote. And last week, it appears that Mindly wins at 46% of the vote. Let's see here. So, yeah, it's a great visualization tool. So, obviously, yeah, you guys seem to like the way that it visualizes your project management, that sort of stuff. 46%. Second place is Slowly, the other Lee in the running. And was that your Slow?
Yes.
It was Flows. Yep.
Congratulations, 35%. And then third place, Runtastic Balance at 18%.
Listen, I tried to go with the healthy app, and clearly you guys have spoken. You want to be unhealthy, and that's not my problem. But guess who's on a roll with the arena? It's the birthday boy.
Oh. Yes.
Jason now is bragging a three-in-a-row first-place streak. 3 weeks in a row, Jason's
won. I'm going to celebrate with some pie.
You deserve it, my friend. Eat that pie. Go for it. So keep eating that pie, and I'm going to tell you what the other points are. So after 36 weeks in 2018, guests are still in first place with 104 points. I'm still holding on to second place with 89 points, but knocking on the door, the birthday boy, Jason's got 86 points, and Flo's way in the back with 78 points. So we continue to game the system by saying goodbye to Caitlin and now only having three people in the arena. And it seems like a conspiracy, but it's not.
I promise you it is not a conspiracy. This is just the way it worked out today. At this point, I feel like pressure as the person who generally reaches out and books guests. I feel pressure upon me to make sure that every single episode through the end of the year is booked so that it doesn't seem like it's a conspiracy, because I promise you it is not. It's just the way that it's worked out. So and so far, looking at the schedule, we're doing pretty good as far as guests booked for the future. So
we'll have guests. We'll be all right. Don't worry. We're not trying to game it. Listen, all right? Jeez.
We're not totally on purpose doing this.
Yeah.
I've gained some systems, but this is not the system I'm gaining.
All right.
All right. Well, so I went I get to start, right, Jason?
Yes, you get to start, and I've got it installed, so I'll show it off.
Cool. Well, so I went healthy last week with your body, and you didn't want that. So I'm hoping this week I'm going to go healthy with your data, And I'm going for a bit of a ringer here, but the fine folks at the Tor Project unveiled the Tor browser for Android, which is currently in alpha. And it is what it sounds. Oh, that's not that at all. That's there you go.
I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah. So the Tor browser for Android. And for those who don't know, Tor stands for the Onion Router. But it's basically the network that protects you from your privacy. You're able to utilize their proxy network to kind of hide your fingerprint, your digital fingerprint on the world. So the Tor browser for Android, this is very much an alpha. So it's built on the Firefox browser engine, right? So you know they've got a dependable base to come from the folks at Mozilla and Firefox. And it's got all the things that you would expect from it. Now, but the one thing to note is that because it is an alpha, it's still an early build, you still need to download and install the Aurobot, which is the proxy server that connects you to the whole Tor network and all that sort of stuff to hide things. So once you've got Aurobot in place, Aurobot talks to Tor browser for Android. And as you browse, you're going to block anybody tracking you. You're going to block any surveillance that's happening against you. You've got encryption. Basically, it's going to allow you to browse completely privately and keep all your data safe. So what's better than that? Future versions of this browser, they've already said, is going to incorporate the Aurobot, the Tor project proxy connectivity aspect of it. So you won't need to get that second app. It will just work all together. But if you want to get on the ground floor of protecting your privacy when using a mobile browser, it doesn't get better than Tor. And there's Aurobot's notification tells you where your connections are being hopped through and all that sort of stuff, which is really interesting. That's another app. But yeah, but it's a great internet browser. It's got all the things you would expect. I find the fact that it has incognito mode kind of funny because you're already pretty much incognito while you're doing this.
What is the extra incognito layer?
If you hit the little mask, there it is. So there it is. It doesn't remember. It's local. It's local work, so it doesn't remember the history and things like that.
Right.
So,
yeah, because you do have kind of a history landing page here, sites, bookmarks, that sort of stuff. And so that would be just like a straight up browsing session that's outside of all that tracking. In the app.
Cool. So so if you're worried about privacy, Tor browser, it's in alpha, but it's worth getting and having on your phone and going on the wonderful ride as they develop this browser to be the most private thing on the internet on your phone. So there you go. Nice. Free in the Google Play Store. So
radical. All right, so that's Tor browser for Android, and that is free. All right, Flo, I've got your app installed. What is it?
Okay, so if you've been watching Know How, which you better be, because we've got next week is our last episode and you'd be watching the season. You have time to catch up. Sorry, I keep shilling my other show on this show, but you know what? We work hard. Anyway, so you know that I like to use an app called Pluto TV, which is how I get like free whatever channels when I'm feeling like going through channels. There is a channel on there called Drama Fever. And what they do is they marathon Korean and Japanese dramas. And then if you're interested in what they're showing, you could go to Drama Fever and sign up for streaming and stream these on your own. So I have really been kind of bored with what I've been watching lately. And I got really hung up on a couple of shows after watching some of the binge watching time, whatever sessions that they were having. And I decided to just sign up and start watching some of the series that are on here. Right now, the series that I'm really into, and you can search for this one, is called Missing Nine. So it's just spelled missing and then nine is spelled out. And it is basically like the K-pop version of Lost because it involves like all these K-pop stars and it involves like a murder and they all get stranded on an island. It's like, it's crazy intense. And I've been watching it and I still haven't finished it, but it's crazy intense. And the nice thing about this service is that you can actually stream a couple of episodes from each series for free to figure out if you want to pay for the monthly subscription price or not. The sub price is only like $5 a month, which is really not too bad. There's a that helps unlock the Chromecasting ability, so you do have to pay to unlock that. Otherwise, you have to deal with ads, and you could just watch it on the phone. But it's just, I am really going down this Korean drama hole. And so I just thought it was really a fun, I didn't realize the streaming service was out there, but I really appreciate that it is, because now I have something to play around with. There's also Chinese and Japanese dramas that stream on here as well. And I'm still diving into what some of these titles are. So I'm not an expert, but if you're interested in trying a different genre of entertainment, want to check out some drama from overseas, and you like cheesy stuff like 90210, I really think that you'll find something that you like on Drama Fever. And you don't even have to pay for it if you don't want to. You could just do the free service and just like step in if you want to waste some time.
Wow. This is, I mean, this is a whole window into just content that probably,
it is. Know,
many, many people that watch the show have not ever even experienced before.
This I love crazy. To watch.
And it's all subtitled and stuff. That's crazy.
I love to watch dramas and series from other countries, because I just love, I love the drama and soap opera genre. So I just love to see how it's like, how other cultures take it and what like the storylines are. And it's always just fun to peek into entertainment from a place that you're not from, because there's new stories there that are being told,
yeah,
that are
absolutely
really good stories, that are really engaging. And I love a good soap. Okay. I love a good murder mystery, a good soap, and a good love triangle.
Don't you just love, though, zany quests, hilarious antics, and insane betrayals? Because if so, you should watch Don't Walk, Run, Running Man. Just saying.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that would be pretty entertaining.
Usually the description, I mean, that's got 5 stars. So clearly,
yeah.
Oh, we'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. All right, so this is Drama Fever.
There's a little IMDb thing about it too that I forgot to mention, where you can like look up the actors and where they have acted.
Oh, that's down here at the bottom,
yeah,
kind of the background. Awesome stuff. Oh, he's an Infinity Challenge too. There you go. Drama Fever.
I like the idea that the show just disintegrates into Jason watching Drama Fever. Jason's like, ooh, what's this? And then it's just like 5 minutes of quiet as Jason watching something.
I love drama. What
we
can
won't
I
do
say?
That. Instead, I'll just eat pie.
See, you could be eating pie while in front
while
of
you're
the TV
watching.
Soap opera's on.
It's,
I mean,
true.
Like ultimate comfort.
I mean, I'm realizing today, you know, I had said it, we had talked about, you know, the possibility of eating pie every week, similar to what we did with Oreos, and I just didn't think that I could like actually do that. And I'm realizing today that it's true. I can't do that. Pie is great, but wow, it's really hard to eat.
Listen, Jason, I believe in you, and I don't want you to underestimate what you can do, especially on your birthday. I think you could do it.
I'm placing limits upon myself. You're right. You're right. I need to expand my horizons a little bit.
I believe in you.
All right. My app is not an app. Well, I guess it's technically an app, but it's more of a game. And actually, you may remember back in episode 222. This was back in, I think, June of 2015. I think I brought in the game called Alpha Bear. It actually won in the arena.
Because I remember.
Because it's an awesome game. And now there's a second part, Alpha Bear Part 2. And I discovered that it was totally not on my radar at all. And then I discovered it, and I've been, you know, messing around with it and remembering what I like so much about Alpha Bear, the game series. So for those who don't already know, you can kind of see here, like, there's a little world map that you continue along inside of. But this is a word puzzle game. So I'm going to go ahead and hop into this world. I have not played it yet. A component of this is that as you go along, you collect bears, essentially, that become kind of players on your playing board. And as you can see down here, depending on the level, you can load up to 3 of them. And so at this point, I now have 3. So I'm going to go ahead and select that bear to put it there. It says I'm still unprepared. So I'm going to go ahead and add this one. And now I'm almost ready. I guess that means I need to add all of them and all systems go and I will play. It'll give me my playing board, which is this big kind of green expansive area with one of my bears in the center. In this case, on one of the other levels I played, I had my bears kind of in different corners and different letters around them. But basically what you do is you got letters that you use to spell out whatever word you want with the letters that are showing, and the numbers below them are the amount of turns remaining that they will be available before they turn into a rock and that space becomes unusable. So what you want to do is, let's see here, Bodes. How about, no, you know what, I'm going to use this S because that kind of keeps everything. Okay, so Bodes, 35 points. I'll hit the check mark. Those all drop down to 5. The ones that I got turn into bears, and as I kind of complete more of these, they form larger bears, and the overall goal is to get a very nice large bear that is unobstructed by rocks. If I let one of these go down to 0, it would become a rock, and you can't expand your bear from there. So T-I-L-T-S, tilts, sure, those go away. And you can see that kind of expanded. And you do this throughout. And this is just one of the types of games. And there's looks like there's little bonuses in these stars if I can kind of find my way there. B-R-E-E-D-S. Breeds. Sure. There we go. And more. And things get bigger and whatever. So you kind of get the point. And it's just, I don't know. I'm a sucker for word games, I guess. And I like the design style and approach of the Alpha Bear series. And so it's nice to see that there's a new version of this. And they've kind of worked in some other elements that are fun to kind of discover as you go along. But this is Alpha Bear 2. It's a lot of fun and it's free. I'm sure that there's some way that I can throw them money, but I don't think that I did throw them money.
In-app purchases.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
In-app purchases. If I wanted to, you know, get different types of bears or something, I'm sure that's possible. But I haven't, and I'm having plenty of fun. One thing to keep in mind is when you clear levels, you have the option of kind of cashing in on certain bonuses or certain kind of upgrades, either clothing changes for your bear or coins or whatever. And those coins, I'm going to go ahead and quit to the menu. Those coins come in handy. I think that's what they are in playing, in continuing to play. So as long as you're winning, it's one of those games. As long as you're winning, you're building up your capability to continue playing. It's when you start losing hard that, you know, I'm sure at some point there might be some sort of like a time limit or something like that. But anyways, it's fun and I like it. Alpha Bear 2. That is the
Jason. Game. Jason loves his bears.
I love my bear games. let's see here. So I'm going to create the URL and we are good. twit.to/AAApoll386 is where you'll want to go to place your vote for your favorite app and or game this week. Is it Tor Browser for Android? Is it Drama Fever or Alpha Bear 2? We've got you covered. So go to twit.to/AAApoll386 and place your vote. Like Victor is about to do.
I think he's going Drama Fever.
Dun, 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 Drama Fever.
I knew it.
Good work.
Victor, you have to watch Fever. Missing 9.
I saw Drama Fever, and I was like, that's got Victor written all over it.
Well, my wife and my daughter watch a lot of the Filipino ones, which, strangely enough, are based on a lot of these ones from Korea and Japan. So.
Oh, okay.
So similar stories.
Right.
Also, Victor and I have similar interests.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
We both love drama.
It's true. Usually, usually when you're in here in the studio, after the show is done, you and Victor get into discussions about things like Pokemon and stuff. So, and then you're talking for like hours, basically.
It's true. It's because Victor's helping me build my deck.
Oh, that's why. See, this is lingo that I don't understand because I'm so far outside of the Pokemon thing.
You have to rely on your, you know, ask your friends for help.
Do reach out. They're there, willing to help. Thank you, Flo. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm sorry I wasn't there, Jason.
It's okay. I'm just giving you resistance, but it's all good. I understand. It's okay. This pie will not wait for you, though. I'm sorry. It will be gone.
Yeah.
So
that's probably fair.
Another time. Flo, what do you want people to know?
I want people to know that right now I'm working on some stuff, but I'm not ready to tell you what I'm working on. But I'll tell you next week.
Okay.
When I'll finish it this week. So until then, just FlorenceIon.com if you'd like to see my resume, and Oh That Flow on Twitter if you'd like to see me just talk about myself and my life. my opinions.
Right on, Flo. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. What about you, Ron?
Yeah, follow me at Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO, where I'm posting fun stuff. I saw Shellac play last night. I posted some pictures and some stuff on my Instagram stories. Nice. Love the music. I'm one of my many projects is actually, we were discussing it tonight at dinner. It is going to go live as soon as next week. So it might be something new for you to listen to. So hold me to it. But I'm hoping next week I'll be telling you about a new podcast. So
certainly hope so.
Yes.
Hey, Ron, can you put Ron back on the screen?
Hi, Jason. Happy birthday.
Hey, google.com/+RonRichards. Should we have that there anymore?
I haven't done anything on that in a long time.
I'm just wondering. I can't believe that I haven't noticed it until just now. But
I think every now and then I get people liking old stuff and all this fun stuff. But yeah, the last thing I posted was a poll. It's all the polls. It's all polls.
Okay.
And the last thing I posted that was content was May 2017.
Wow.
Oh, okay. That's probably better than me. I haven't posted actual content.
Well, let's find out. I'm going to Jason Howell. The last thing Jason posted was Yellow Gold.
It was probably Gold related. That makes sense.
Marketing your album.
Yeah, marketing. Yeah. For all of those sales, let me tell you. Not very many. It's okay. It's fine. I'm okay.
Jason,
seriously,
what
I'm okay.
We'll find you.
Twit.tv is where you'll find me. I'm here doing lots of shows. If you want to find my music, you can. YellowGoldMusic.com. Victor, thank you for being you, man.
No problem, man.
And did you get any pie?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, maybe there's later. There's a corner that my spoon is not touched, so sounds delicious, doesn't it? If you would like some pie, there's plenty left. Real quick, before we do the wrap up, there is a new podcast on the Twit Network, and it is called Valley of Genius: The Voices That Built Silicon Valley. It's an audio podcast, audio only, so we don't have a video component on this one. It's Leo Laporte and author Adam Fisher, who just released the book called Valley of Genius. It's actually super interesting. First episode is up right now that covers Steve Wozniak. Basically, Adam interviewed something like 200 like Silicon Valley staples for his book on kind of the history and the, you know, the growth of Silicon Valley over the years. And so this podcast is really kind of listening to and contextualizing those audio recordings along with Leo and Adam. So kind of talking about the history and then hearing in the words of the people who made that history, starting, of course, first episode with Steve Wozniak. Next episode, Stuart Brand, but there's also Nolan Bushnell, which would be super interesting. Alan Kay, man. Scott Hassan, Alvy Ray Smith, Sean Parker, Ev Williams, Tony Fidel, Joey Anouf, and so many more. So this publishes every Monday, and it just launched yesterday. So check it out. Go to twit.tv/VOG for Valley of Genius. And you can subscribe to the audio podcast and listen. It's very fascinating. You're going to learn a lot.
Can I tell you, no BS, not because, I mean, I would not be, I'm not saying this because I'm here and a happy member of the Twit family, but I got the email about that and I was reading. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is a show. Like, I'm so glad you guys are doing that because, like, this is a show that people like us need to listen to. Like, I love that history stuff. Nolan Bushnell and all that fun stuff. Oh, that's
totally.
So cool.
Totally. Yeah. Lots of cool history and the voice recordings of the people that are, you know,
that's
the history is around to add to it. So check it out, twit.tv/VOG. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Arena Apps List. Thank you to the folks that keep this updated. twit.to/AndroidApps. If you want to see all the episode or all the apps that we've reviewed on this show, you can go to that list. Come watch us live. Tickets at twit.tv, and you can sit in the studio. Like, nope, there's no one there. But you could be someone there. If you wanted.
Oh,
so,
no one came for your birthday.
No, it's okay. It's
no one came for your birthday. Oh, I can't believe Flo blew you off on your birthday.
It's okay. It's okay. Maybe I will save her a piece of the pie. I don't know. I'm feeling in a good mood now. You can catch us live on the stream, though, if you aren't in here to celebrate my birthday. That's starting on Tuesdays, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. But really, the place to go, twit.tv/AAA. That's where you'll find all the links to all of our episodes. And hey, that hero image looks better. So go there and you'll find all the ways to subscribe to this little podcast that we do each and every week. And that's all there is to it. Thanks everyone for watching. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye everybody.
Happy birthday. Happy Woo! Birthday, Jason. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye.